Hey, what's good? Welcome to Conversationalist Corner, a podcast that explores the world of conversation. My name is Paul Larson, and I'm here with my co-host, Jacob White. Super excited to have you here, and we hope that as you listen in today, that you learn the things that enable you to have the best conversations anytime, anyplace, and with anybody. Alrighty, welcome back to season two, you wonderful listener. We are so thankful to have you here.
Yes, we're super excited to be here with another season of the Conversationalist Corner. And we,
who would have thought? Here we are. It's a real season two after having a real season one.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
We're starting to string together and we are in a rhythm and a routine. And so we hopefully will continue in the vein of continuing to record episodes and bring you some great thoughts and things that we've learned in our studies for these episodes. And this next season is going to be all about peacemaking, and we are super duper excited to kind of tackle that topic with you guys and kind of share things we've learned. But before we kind of get into kind of the episode for today, we kind of want to give you a standard life update, what's been happening in the last week or so.
Yeah. Today's Halloween.
Yeah, today is Halloween. So
you will not be getting this on Halloween because it is a holiday, and so we decided to let you guys enjoy your holiday in peace. But
yeah. This will come out probably a week from today.
A week from today, yeah.
Yeah, so
the first Friday in November.
Yeah, we're super excited to be starting November with a great episode, a new season for you guys. So hopefully you enjoyed your Halloween. Paul, what are your Halloween plans today?
I'm going to be Po the Panda.
Po the Panda, wow. Yeah, from Maddie Kung Fu Panda.
From Kung Fu Panda, that's right, yeah. Maddie and I spent many weeks deliberating on a couple's costume.
That's pretty awesome.
And one day I was struck by revelation and I thought, Poe and Tigress. I don't know that they're actually like a couple.
I feel like they have that energy.
They got that
they have a connection moment.
Yeah, it was like pretty much me and Maddie before we started dating.
That's so facts.
Except for I'm a little skinnier than Poe.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, but he can do better splits.
Can you do that amount of dumplings?
I can't do that amount of dumplings. Also, anytime I try kung fu, I end up on my butt. Jacob knows that.
That's so true.
So yeah, Halloween plans. Jacob, you got anything exciting?
Yeah, we're actually going over to our neighbor's house. We're gonna have a little game night. So we're gonna be playing a little bit of blackjack with candy. So that's always fun.
Ooh la la.
So we've been kind of getting into that. That's something our neighbors really enjoy. So yeah. We're doing it with them. They're fun people. We really enjoy being around Evan and Audrey.
Wow, imagine that. You have friends.
Yeah, we're starting to make friends.
Yeah, maybe.
It's pretty fun.
Maybe if you, listener, want friends, you should become a conversationalist.
Yeah, it's been fun. But other than your Halloween plans, has anything really exciting happened in the last week for you, Paul?
Nah, not for me. But I'm excited because we get to play disc golf tomorrow.
Yeah, that's always a highlight of the week. We've been playing disc golf the last couple of weeks on Saturday mornings, Paul, me, and a couple of our friends. It's a fluctuating group, but it's always a good group.
Yeah, and Jacob
has
upgraded this week.
I splurged this week. I was talking with one of my friends from work, and he was we got talking about disc golf. It's kind of a funny story that maybe we can go into another time, but I was asking him, like, oh, he's been playing pretty seriously for a while. I'm like, where do you get your disc? He's like, oh, there's this awesome place out in Orem that I get my discs. It's called Birdcage. And so I went out there that night and I...
Oh, no way. I was curious. I actually don't know how.
Yeah.
How you got him.
I went out that night after work and I went and talked to the owner and he was super helpful and helped me find some used discs that were in pretty decent condition still and kind of gave me some tips on what he thinks beginners should have and I don't know, just a couple tips. And so we'll see how it goes tomorrow with all the friends.
Yeah. Super fun. Yeah. I'm going to get whooped tomorrow.
No.
But yeah, that's life update. I don't know unless you have anything else.
No, I don't really have anything else. That's pretty much the bulk of our
cool fall decoration.
Yeah.
If you're watching the YouTube. Excuse me. If you're watching the YouTube, you can see our recent decoration addition, but if not, then I will just describe it for you. It's a tree. It's a fake tree.
Like fall colored tree, so it's a pretty nice addition.
With lights and whatnot.
Yeah, so we kind of got with the mood lighting today, but yeah.
It's fun.
That's pretty much it for our life update. We're just just students doing school. So
yeah,
and that's our focus right now.
And so the biggest real life update I would say is that we're starting season two. And like Jacob mentioned, we're going to be talking about peacemaking and how to avoid kind of arguments.
Yeah.
Jacob, why are we doing this?
This is something that Paul and I have kind of talked about for a while now. We thought about maybe doing an episode last season on peacemaking, but we felt like it was a little bit too, didn't quite flow with the vision that we had for season one.
Yeah.
And so we decided to dedicate an entire season to being a peacemaker, just because the world that we live in right now is in our minds kind of filled with contention.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reason for people to be divided. Maybe not necessarily reason to be divided, but people have found reason to be divided. And we don't think it's the most, healthy way to go about our interactions, and it can lead to some pretty sticky conversations that people honestly either end up not enjoying the conversation, being frustrated after, or then another option that they often that often occurs is people just avoid those conversations altogether. And so we don't think that those of types of conversations should be avoided, and we think that we should be able to tackle them head on confidently, that we're going to have productive conversations and we're not going to be very contentious. And yeah. So that's something that we wanted to kind of tackle this season.
Well, it's hard. I mean, I don't think that neither myself nor Jacob, neither of us were born with an innate ability to navigate tense situations.
Yeah, I think it's something you have to learn.
And neither of us are the best. I mean, that being said, like, we still struggle.
Yeah.
It's something that we're still learning. And so in that way, this podcast is just as much for us as it is for y'all. But there's so many different times, whether it be politics, you know, religion, whether it be family matters, that we can come in relationships. There's so many different environments where we can get caught up in just kind of the heat of the moment and our pride, and it can lead to contention and pain and arguments. And I think that while we're not perfect, me and Jacob are both very averse to arguments. We don't really like them. Rubs us the wrong way for sure.
Definitely.
And so we're trying to be better so that not only is everyone happier, but we can also be happier.
Yeah. I just think it's the thing that makes everyone's life better. Everyone that seeks to be a peacemaker, those who they interact with are blessed because of it.
Yeah.
And that's something that we want to work on ourselves, and also maybe impart a little bit of our small amounts of wisdom that we learn along the way. And so that's why we're sharing this with you.
And well, today we're actually going to share, like we've done in the last episode, and as we will probably continue throughout the next couple of seasons. That's right. We have an indefinite amount of seasons coming. is we're going to share some of the resources that we feel like have guided us and inspired us to be better. And so today we're actually going to start off with the scriptures.
Yeah, this is something that we feel very, we feel very passionate about, and we attribute a lot of our growth within the being a peacemaker to the scriptures. We, as Christians and members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, believe in the Bible and the Book of Mormon as our predominant Holy Writ, and with a couple other scriptures as accompanying to those two. And today, Paul and I kind of wanted to focus on a couple passages from the New Testament that we feel are very formative to our understanding of faith. But before we get there, we wanted to kind of talk about Jesus Christ, as one of his many titles is the Prince of Peace.
Yeah, so for those of you who are Christians, you know very well that to be a Christian means to follow Jesus Christ, to learn about him, to emulate him, to love him and come to know him. And for those of you, sorry, my voice is a little dry today.
That's all right.
But for those of you who aren't Christian, hopefully we can kind of show you what it means to us to be a Christian. Thank you. Look at this good Christian man sharing his water with me.
Yeah, you got to make sure that voice is fresh. It's a little dry after talking for a while.
Yeah. But then for those of you who aren't Christians, I'm sure that you all relate to us in the fact that you have in your own faith, in your own faith journey, whether you're religious or not, there are individuals that teach principles that you really admire. and you really want to follow their principles and you want to become like them. And so for us, that person that we want to become is Jesus Christ. And like Jacob said, his one of his titles that we both really love is the Prince of Peace. And so Jacob, I guess I just want to ask you, how have you come to know Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace?
Yeah, I think the Prince of Peace is a very telling, for me, example of who Jesus Christ is as an individual, as our Savior, and just really sums up a lot of what I've come to know in his nature. I think one of the ways that I've come to know personally that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace is through his actions. Jesus Christ, I think one of the most effective ways in which he taught was through his actions.
Yeah.
He said, and he gave a lot of sermons while he was here on the earth. But I think Jesus Christ was a very effective teacher with simple, deliberate actions that he did throughout his life. And yeah. Maybe we'll get into a couple of those specific examples as we talk today. But just through studying and examining his life and understanding his character and trying to emulate that in my own life,
yeah. It's
been very apparent to me that Jesus Christ prioritized peace.
Yeah.
And not in like a, I'm just going to have this negatively affect me so it can be peaceful, but in a proactive way yeah. That allowed peace to be abounding for everyone.
Yeah, well, and I really love the connotation behind the title Prince of Peace and the fact that a prince is a royal title.
Yeah.
And I think that it's really beautiful to think of peace as a royal or an elite thing, right?
Yeah.
An elite stewardship, and to be a peacemaker is a royal calling.
Yeah. And as a prince, you're kind of the example.
Right, right.
Of
you are the
peace.
You are the steward. You're the one who takes care of the peace, and it's your responsibility to do so. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
I think to kind of add my own thoughts, I also love the actions of Jesus Christ. I think that the Gospel of Mark might be my favorite,
uh-huh. And
it really is all about his actions. But also, I think that both me and Jacob have had personal experiences with Jesus Christ, you know, you might be a cynic. You might say, oh, sure, whatever, maybe not. But that's not really what we're arguing today.
Yeah.
In fact, we're trying to avoid arguing.
Yeah.
So, but we really do believe that we have had instances in our lives where we have interacted with Jesus Christ, not face to face, but in spirit, in scripture, in prayer. And I think that a lot of times when I find myself praying or meditating, I envision Jesus Christ next to me, and I feel like the image that and the vision of Jesus Christ that I have been gifted with is one that is very peaceful, one uh-huh. That is strong, but very, very brotherly. You know, an older brother is always going to watch out for you. An older brother is always going to pick your fights for you. And I think that's such a beautiful way to think about Jesus.
Yeah, that's really beautiful, Paul, and I really appreciate that insight that you gave. As Jesus Christ is an older brother, I think you and I are in a similar boat where we both have older sisters.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have older brothers. And we are the older brother to yeah. Those who are below us.
Hey, older sisters are great.
I love my older sister. She's amazing. And I know that you feel the same, but it is always a good, it's a great comfort, at least to me, to know that I do have an older brother. Right. His name is Jesus Christ, and he was the most perfect being to ever come to the earth, and he exemplified such a great example for me. And I try to, like every younger brother tries to be like his older brother.
That's
the way I feel with Jesus Christ.
And I think that it's comforting as an older brother to have that example because, you know, they say there's no books about being a parent, but there's definitely no books about being an older brother.
That's true.
just kidding. But yeah, Jesus Christ lived his whole life teaching in both his actions and in his words, peace and love.
Yeah.
Like Jesus, I don't know, you want to call him a hippie, but peace and love, like that man really was one of an excellent example of that. And it's something that many other religions teach. I do want to mention that I've heard people describe Jesus as one of the best Buddhists out there. I know Buddhism, Hinduism, you know,
Islam, Judaism, like all these things speak of peace and love.
Uh-huh.
That is religion exemplified, is taking care of people and yeah. loving them. And for us, being Christians, that is predominantly seen and learned through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so Jesus Christ spends his life teaching this religion of love and peace. And for those of you who don't know Jesus Christ, he dies. He's martyred. And he knows that. To kind of a little refresher, he knows that he's going to be taken away and killed. And he's aware of that. He holds a Last Supper for him and all his disciples to teach them like a last couple of things. And today we kind of want to talk about some of his last words to his disciples found in John chapter 15.
Yeah, this chapter is a great example of Jesus Christ exemplified peacemaking both in word and in deed, which I think is really important to remember, that we don't only need to profess peacemaking by our words, but our actions should reflect the same thing.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ showed us such a great example of that, of both of those. And so today we wanted to focus on some of the words that he said in John chapter 15, I think specifically verses 17 through 19.
You want to go ahead and read those for us, Jacob?
Yeah, sure. I'll go ahead and read those three verses. So it's just a couple verses. It says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you."
And actually, I think we should also read verses 12 and 13.
All right, you want me to go ahead and read those?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man layeth down his life for his friends."
Yeah. These are his last words.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I believe he deemed to be most important.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited us to love one another. And so I think that this is super powerful, and I would love, Jacob, to hear how applying this invitation to love one another has affected you in your life.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus just preached love. I mean, that is probably one of the most predominant things that I thought about when thinking of Jesus Christ. And just if I may add, the next verse, verse 14, "You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you." And the verse 13 is very foreshadowing what is about to happen. I mean, Jesus is going to lay down his life for his friends.
Yeah.
And I think it's very telling that Jesus Christ calls us as his friends.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that I never really thought of until I read these verses in depth. And I guess just for me, the effect that this teaching has had upon me of loving one another is profound. I think I have tried to exemplify that by not judging as much. I think that's something that I've personally struggled with throughout my life is judgment. And knowing the teaching that Jesus Christ encouraged us to lead with love has helped me root out a lot of that judgment I've had towards other people.
Yeah.
And it's allowed me to come out of situations where in the past I might have judged other people and thought negatively of them, to come out of those situations and interactions with a love for them, understanding that maybe I might not approve or agree with things that they do or things that they say, but I still love them because that's what I am leading with. I'm choosing to consciously lead with love, and that's beneficial to both me and them.
Yeah. Is there any particular experience that you can think of with that? Or if not, I'd love to hear what are some of those maybe emotions that you either feel during or after those experiences.
I think often in times when you maybe are coming into interactions that someone who's maybe making choices that you don't agree with, it's easy to feel kind of you don't understand.
Right. Well, I mean, in 19 it says, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." You know, you might feel like an outsider. You might feel alienated by the things that people do that might be considered more worldly.
Yeah. I think in the moment, and this is something I'm not anywhere near perfect at, but it's something I'm definitely working on and improving upon, is in those interactions, and I'm not going to get into specifics because I don't think it's necessarily appropriate or needed, but in those situations, I can often feel kind of worried or concerned or maybe not understanding, and it's just like you feel confused.
Yeah.
But when you remove yourself from a situation, and in the situation where you did not throw hate or disrespect towards people, in those interactions that I've had, I have come out and tried to understand them.
Yeah.
And not to judge them in a way that would put them down, but understand them in a sense that God would understand them, and as this teaching says, to love.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what's really helped me kind of grow in this teaching of love, that maybe I don't understand why they're making the decision that they are. And it's hard for me to accept that I don't really appreciate or understand why they're making this decision. But as I've reflected and had specific conversations with other people that I trust and have helped me through these things, they've helped me understand. And ultimately, I think Jesus Christ has helped me understand that we each have our own kind of path. And yeah. I don't need to allow my life experiences to dictate how I think other people should live their life.
Yeah.
And it's allowed me to, one, just be at peace with the other people and appreciate them as a person, not put their whole framework around their one decision that they're making.
Yeah.
But it's allowed me to see them as an individual and as a son or daughter of God who is going through the same struggles that I'm struggling with.
Yeah. I really like that, Jacob. To me, it sounds like you've kind of been freed from that burden of judgment.
It's a process, but I'm trying.
It's a process. He's halfway freed. But it also reminds me of the chapter prior. I know we just said we talked about a couple of verses, but here we are bringing in more.
Yeah.
But in chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let your hearts, not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And I just want to say that to me, Jacob, correct me if I'm wrong, but as you have tried to love people, and in your particular example, by being judgment-free and interacting people and viewing people without judgment, that you've had peace.
Exactly.
And I think that that's super important, and that's something that we want to highlight, is often we can think of peacemaking as a selfless act, but it really does bless you.
Yeah, it does.
And that's why we want you to become a peacemaker. And we want you to love those around you so that you can feel this peace that I think that we have definitely felt.
Yeah. Do you have any, I guess, specific examples or things that come to mind when it comes to this teaching of love one another, just being a peacemaker in general?
I think that whenever Jesus says, you know, love one another, and he's very, you know, I have just this idea of being different, right? You know, uh-huh. We're taught in the scriptures that, you know, by this shall men know that you are my disciples. That being loving and being peaceful is different from the world.
Mm-hmm.
It is being royalty. It is being special. It's being weird. It's being
different,
you know? And I really love that idea, and I think that Jesus really exemplified that in so many different ways. You know, he made a lot of people upset, which is interesting, right? Because he taught love, right?
Yeah.
But, like, he just was so different from this world, and I think that's really powerful. Like I said in verse 19, I love this idea of not being owned by the world.
Yeah.
Whenever you act with love and whenever you act with peace, you are not owned by the world. And I think that, to me, being owned by the world means being owned by productivity, being owned by convenience, being owned by pride, right? And letting those things dictate the actions of your life. And so I think for me specifically, the way that I apply Jesus Christ's teaching to love one another is I try to be an inconvenient minister to the people around me,
yeah,
and an inconvenient peacemaker or friend or loved one. I really think that for me, it can be very little things.
Yeah.
I love getting people things. Like, gifts are kind of one of my love languages.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's important to know what your love languages are and then to use those, right? Like, yeah. If you're not speaking your love language, then are you really, like, loving, right? Who knows? For me, following Jesus Christ's example means making a treat for someone at midnight, you know? For me, it means making dinner for my girlfriend whenever, even if there's no reason to do so, right? It means getting flowers for a friend who's going through a hard time. It means giving a buddy a call out of the blue, randomly. Mm-hmm. It means if someone's having a hard day, you put your stuff down and you help out.
Yeah.
And I think it requires, and I think it requires an acceptance of this invitation that Jesus Christ gives to us to love one another and to make that our priority. I think often about this one story that I heard, I believe it was on a BYU speech, of a coal mining incident. This individual who was giving the talk, I don't know if it was his story or he was referencing a story, but anyways, the narrator of the story is visiting a coal mine where there was this massive accident.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes and he's going to the mine entrance, you know, to kind of see what the rescue operations are like. There's a big, long line of men. And at the very front of the line, there's this man who's super haggard, super dirty. You know, he's been through it, right? Like, this dude looks like he's one of the victims. And this man at the front of the line is having a conversation with the supervisor. And he's like, put me in. Put me in. And the dude's like, we really shouldn't. Like, you have gone in multiple times already. You've already saved your fair share of lives. Like, your work here is done. And he's like, no. Like, as long as people are in there, I am going to keep on going down in there. And you can't stop me. And so the supervisor's like, all right, where should we put you? He's like, put me in as the point man, which is the most dangerous in this particular operation. He wanted the most dangerous job.
Yeah.
And I think that is so powerful, where you know, everyone else in the line, they were available. They were accepting of the opportunities.
And they were even willing.
They were even willing to come and help, but they didn't want it as bad as this man.
Uh-huh.
It was convenient for them to wait, right?
Yeah.
And it's not to poop on them or anything. It's not to say that they're any lesser of people, but they just didn't have that drive. And I believe that Jesus Christ would be that man at the front of the line that says, you know what, my little brother's in there. And I am not going to stop until all my little siblings are out of there.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like every sibling feels that way. Yeah. I know that you would go in time after time and you would not stop searching until your siblings are safe. And I feel the same way about my siblings. And I believe that Jesus Christ is that person. Obviously, we're not going to be in coal mining incidents.
Yeah.
But there are times, you know, here with school, you know, what people struggle with. A lot of different things, mental health, stress, relationships, right? And so we can say, you know, I am not resting tonight. I'm not going to bed tonight until I have ministered to these people in my life, to these people that I love. And I think that oftentimes it's going to be inconvenient.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ was often in the middle of his sermons. He was often in the middle of his life, you know, his mission. He obviously had a lot of things to do. He was usually in the middle of something whenever someone asked him a question and he responded, or when someone needed a blessing and he responded. And so I think for me, being following the example and the invitation of Jesus Christ to love one another is to do it when it's impossible.
Yeah.
When it seems impossible.
I think, if I may, bring up two stories specifically from the life of Jesus Christ that I was just reminded of from different parts of his life.
Yeah.
The first of which is from when he was teaching, and I can't remember, but he was teaching in a house. I think it's very early in his ministry as the Savior, where he has publicly declared himself as the Savior of the world, and he was teaching in a house, and there were a multitude gathered there, and the house was full, and the windows were full, and people were just trying to hear. And there was a group of men who came with a man who was sick, had been bedridden for a long time.
One sick of the palsy, which was born of four.
Yeah.
For those who are curious, the story is I think it might be in multiple Gospels, but the one that the specific reading that I like is in Mark chapter 2.
Yeah. And as Jesus is teaching, just to paint a mental picture, I don't know exactly what the house is, but the ways I've seen it depicted is he's teaching in a crowded room, and all of a sudden the roof of the house starts getting disassembled. It's like a straw roof, and slowly things start falling from the ceiling, and the light starts coming in from where the ceiling used to be, and down comes this man on a stretcher who has been lowered down by his friends. And oftentimes I think in this story his friends are highlighted, as they should be. They did a lot for their friend. But I think the point that I kind of want to highlight is it was inconvenient what they did.
Yeah, imagine trying to climb a roof with your paralyzed friend.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's pretty crazy what they did. But Jesus Christ teaching was interrupted, essentially.
Yeah.
In the middle of his sermon. And it could have been very easy for any person to be annoyed or frustrated. But what did Jesus do? No, he stopped everything. There were a multitude of people. I don't know how to quantify it, but there was a lot of people there that were there to hear him. And Jesus stopped and he healed the man.
Yeah.
In the middle of his sermon. And I think that was inconvenient to a sense for Jesus. But that's not what Jesus cared about. He didn't care about whether something was convenient or inconvenient. He cared about being a peacemaker and spreading the love that he thought and knew was so pertinent and essential to this world.
Yeah. No, I definitely love that. And I really appreciate this theme that we've discussed thus far about being an inconvenient servant and loved one. And I think it's interesting, right? We are a conversation-based podcast, and we haven't really talked about any conversations. But this is so important to set the scene, you know? Mm. Conversations are a facet of our lives, right? But it begins with us. Jesus Christ, I think that what's powerful about his invitation is it's not, you know, Jesus never said, you know, be obedient 100%, right? Jesus mm-hmm. never said, follow all the commandments and you'll get into heaven, right? Jesus said, you know, love one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be filled with love. Be different from the world. Jesus Christ, and for those of you who study the scriptures and have kind of pondered about the differences between the law of Moses and the law that Jesus established, the law of Moses was very obedience-based, you know, very specific things mm-hmm. to do at very specific times with very specific instructions. Jesus Christ did away with that. He completed it, and he invited people to change. And so the reason I think that we really wanted to talk about this is that before you can really have a peacemaking conversation, before you can truly apply the things that we're going to talk about in future episodes, before you can navigate arguments and disagreements with love and compassion and free of judgment, you need to change.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to change. It's not saying, we're not accusing you of not being loving enough. It's just, you know, as two young adult men, we also,
we are just as guilty of that encouragement.
But we wanted to begin this season by talking about the need for us to change and to become more loving, and that it is only by becoming more loving that are we truly going to be able to make peace, to love people, and to avoid the arguments. And we hope that through the coming episodes and the more specific instances and techniques and strategies that we talk about, that these will just become a part of your journey to become a peacemaker. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I think that is the perfect place to kind of wrap up this episode. This has been, I think, very insightful for me personally. I think I've learned a lot. And we hope that you have learned a lot as you've listened along and engage in this discussion that we're sharing. And we, I guess, encourage you for the next week to kind of focus on working on being a peacemaker.
Yeah.
Because as we work on that in our own lives, it will help us to lead, to be able to, like Paul said, have those tough conversations that could often lead to contention. But as we work ourselves to be a peacemaker, those types of conversations will come more naturally, and with more love and with more purpose and with more focus on being a peacemaker.
Yeah.
And not bringing judgment or hostility to those conversations. And so that's kind of what we would like to encourage you to do this week. We really appreciate you guys listening to this episode, and we love you guys so much. Thank you for coming along for the ride.
Love you.
Peace.